All right, let's talk about a kind of a painful subject, divorce. It can be a long experience, an emotional experience, an expensive experience, very frustrating process. There are lawyers, they give you legal advice, financial planners with financial advice. There are books on the trauma experienced by children, but there aren't a lot of resources to help the principals in a divorce, the two people who had once pledged till death do us part, who have come to what probably is a very difficult decision to abrogate that pact. While people can want to be divorced, I don't think anybody has any thought that the process of divorce is something to look forward to. It tears you apart, and I think both sides pretty much can suffer deep wounds sometimes. It's certainly not always the case, but I think divorce takes a greater toll on the woman. Now, maybe you can call me sexist, because I know a lot of men suffer mightily as well. But it still is such that in many homes, the woman is not the main breadwinner. And so for financial reasons, it can be a very difficult process for them. But that is my impression. You can argue if you want. Wendy Schuller, she survived divorce, and the experience was such that she decided to write a book about it, a sort of woman's holistic guide to divorce, which, in fact, is the title. If you'd like to talk to us about your divorce or maybe questions you have about divorce, 312-981-7200. Is the number. So, Wendy, let me ask you about what your divorce was like. Was it a gnashing of teeth, pulling out of hair court process, or was it amicable?
Well, my divorce was a divorce from hell, one that you would never want to go through. But the good thing is you can make lemonade from lemons, and I got a lot of information and wrote a book from it.
So it was a bitter process. Vengeful, revengeful.
Right. And what makes it worse is if your husband has a certain personality type. He may be passive aggressive, and in that divorce process, he would say, yes, I can do that, and then wouldn't do it at all. Or be narcissistic like my ex, and that makes it a little bit more challenging if you have personality disorders.
Now, Wendy, we don't know his side. You're giving me your point of view. And
right.
I know there are strong biases when you go through a divorce as to the attributes and behaviors of the other party. I don't want this to sound like we're going to be beating up on men throughout this conversation, because a lot of men suffer mightily, and a lot of women play a lot of nasty games as well.
They do. They do. I've met some great men, and they really got the shaft in divorce. One of them had a very good relationship with his wife, and they decided mutually to have a divorce. So he was just blindsided when she had divorce papers delivered to him at work, in front of clients and his coworkers. So have some kindness. I mean, this guy is a stellar person. So it's both sides. It's not one gender or the other.
Do you think the ideal would be to, as best as you can, if you're going to go through a divorce, to try to do it amicably? Would you always advise that?
I would definitely advise that. And that would be maybe more mediation. And with mediation, you have one person that's working with both of you. And those people can be friends very often after divorce. Another option would be collaborative, where you meet with both attorneys in a conference room. And you work it out, the four of you. Where litigation, you're letting the judge work it out, and there could be more animosity in that process.
Seems interesting that you almost have to assume that in so many cases that it has to be a rancorous process, because that's why you're divorcing. You can't stand the other person.
Not necessarily. A lot of times it's people that have grown apart. Maybe they married too young. One problem is the woman got pregnant as a teenager, and the fella decided he wanted to do the right thing, maybe forced to by the family, and they got married too young. And as people mature and go to college later, they drift apart, and they may be really good friends the rest of their lives, just not marital partners.
Did you write the book because the process was so painful to you, and you learned so many things that you felt, I just got to help other people because I know I ain't the only one going through this hell?
That's part of it, but the main thing was I could not find a book that included everything I wanted to know. I found books that just talked about children and visitation. I found books about finances and divorce. I found legal books about, do I want collaborative? Do I want litigation? Do I want to do it online? I couldn't find a book that included health, forgiveness, moving on. So I realized I had to write it.
This segment is sponsored by the Moneta Young Investor Fund. I want to talk more about that. That'll be coming up in about 30 minutes. We'll have our regular parenting segment. That, too, is sponsored by the Moneta Young Investor Fund. We're talking with Wendy Schuller about her book, The Woman's Holistic Guide to Divorce. Wendy, we had about four people with a question. Now they've all dropped off except for Laura. Hi, Laura. You're on WGN.
Oh, good morning or afternoon.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say I understand, you know, needing some help navigating through a divorce, but I think there's room for another approach, which is to get those mediators, some counseling and advice people before people get married to know that if they even should. I've seen lots of marriages that were doomed from the beginning because they got married for all the wrong reasons. Maybe if there was some place for these people to go before it happened, they would find out before they got so far in financially, children, that they really weren't suited for one another. I'm not saying, you know, that's always happened.
Yeah, my concern is that
a group of people that could benefit from
Laura, when you're in love, you've got chemistry working on your brain, and you're not thinking rationally.
A lot of people don't marry because they're in love. They marry because they think it'll be a better financial situation,
right, yeah.
Or they think that's the next step. So people who are truly in love, yeah, that's another group.
Okay, Laura, a lot of
different groups.
Keep going.
There are premarital counseling. In fact, some churches, I'm Catholic, and our Catholic church required it. My husband and I had extensive premarital counseling, and I'm with you 100%. Even though we still got divorced. But and other churches too, temples, there's out there you can call. You could ask a doctor, you could call a mental health clinic. They can steer you for premarital counseling, and that is excellent. I wish everyone
would
follow your
advice. I would
wonder
how many people decide not to go ahead with the marriage after that kind of counseling, like what Laura is saying, mm-hmm. when they start realizing what's involved with the counseling.
I don't think it happens enough to get good statistics. I know the Catholics do counseling, but how about all the people who have no religion or their particular religion doesn't do it?
Or it's a perfunctory
and
process.
Religion mm-hmm. sometimes takes more of a spiritual art.
No, not the one I went to. It was all about money, about kids. Really wasn't spiritual at all. It just was held, I think, in the church basement or something. That was about as spiritual as it got. It was very nitty-gritty about finances and making decisions and how do you communicate. And that's good. I think that United Way would be one place to call locally to see what resources are available. And that is an excellent comment, so thank you.
Yeah. Let me talk to John here. I think he's going to say something in support of premarital counseling. I'm just trying to get the line cleared. We're still getting that set up. So do you find that there's a lot of overlap with your job as a nurse? You're a school nurse at an elementary school with your expertise in divorce?
Right. I see the children, they have headaches and stomach aches, and they come to me, and as a nurse, I'm finding out why they have it, because I see people in a holistic approach. These children are telling me that they don't have a home base, that they're homeless, and I said, that sounds really strange, tell me more about it, and these are the kids with 50-50 custody. And I'm hearing more
so
and
half
more,
the time with one parent, half with the other.
Right. It's the transitioning between houses. I have children crying because they left a book at one parent's house, homework and reports that they left. So I'm wondering, and I'm trying to find studies on this, what is better, 50-50? Or is it better to do maybe 30-70 with the parent having 30.
But you generally feel that one parent should have custody and the other have visitation rights for the child.
Right. Or you could say, you know, 30-70 custody if you still want to call it custody.
John, you're on WGN, and let's go back again to that point about premarital counseling. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm a one-time divorced, and I'm in another relationship right now, a blended marriage, and we're going through premarital counseling ourselves.
Excellent.
The thing is that when I was younger, obviously, I wasn't as much into my faith as I am in now. And I think that chemistry of being in love, you don't put in the insight what might lay ahead. And premarital is going to prepare you for that. And since she's divorced and I'm divorced and I have kids and she has kids, we know the warning signs of what we want and what we don't want in a relationship because we already experienced that pain and suffering and experience in our last marriages.
Yeah.
So I would encourage anybody that's thinking about getting married for the first time or second time, please go and get premarital counseling. And there's so many different resources online and on the radio. I mean, there's a whole bunch out there. If you just probably Google or whatever, search it, there are so many. Your local church probably will be one of the small groups that will help you with that in premarital counseling.
Yeah, it's getting people to actually do it. They think, oh, we're going to be the perfect married couple, and they don't think it's necessary. They go through the motions of it.
And, John, you hit the nail on the head when you said you have blended family, particularly with second marriages when there are children. I agree with you. Premarital counseling would be excellent.
The sad thing is unfortunately, is when the first, I find, if you don't mind me taking the second, that is when you're the person filing for the divorce, the opposite person will be the one to use the kids against you because you've hurt them, you've abandoned them, but you don't think about what's the best thing for the child. And as for the split in the custody battle, please do joint custody and then do whatever's best for the child. Let the mediator decide.
You know, I agree.
What the kid wants.
I agree. And that's why.
What if one of the parents is abusive, or one drinks, or one's on drugs, or he's bringing around inappropriate people that'll be a negative influence to your children?
John, that's an excellent point, and I want to bring up that you can do supervised visitation. And what you just said, if one parent is abusive, that would be great to do supervised visitation. That way the child still has contact with the parent, still sees the parent, but they feel safer. And so they may even have a better relationship with the parent you're just talking about because they feel that there's someone else there and they can relax around the parent. So thank you so much for bringing that up.
Wendy, what do you think are the main two, three things that people have to think about if they are not yet into the process of divorce but are thinking about it?
One thing I would do is gather your records, gather your financial records, get your taxes, get everything together.
Now, would that be one party doing that? Or would you say if it's a wife and it's the husband who runs the finances of the family, should she somehow have access to that information? Or?
She should have access to the information because...
But would she have to go behind his back to go to the bank and find out, I need to see my records, I don't even know how this... You know, some people just hand it in typical families. I think one party runs the finances.
She could ask the husband, say, I just want to see what the records are. You can get your own taxes, copies of your records.
Right.
She could have that at least. And then go to the bank because she might be a signer on the checking account, a signer on the account. And with the joint account at the bank, she would have access to the records.
Okay, so financial records, get them in shape too?
If you have heirlooms, I would get them out of the house. Because you don't want to lose
valuables that you have,
particularly in your family or family gifts to you. I'm not talking about community property because you're not cheating anybody. But I can tell you one case where the woman did not do it. And after they were having problems right before the divorce, the husband smashed the china and put the sterling silver in ammonia and ruined it. So get him out of the house. The other thing is, you can talk to an attorney ahead of time, even if you're not sure you want a divorce, or talk to a counselor and really see if this is the best option for you is getting a divorce. You can include your husband if he won't go, or include your wife if she won't go. Go yourself. Then if they determine it's best, they'll show you how to do the way out.
The book is The Woman's Holistic Guide to Divorce. It was written by my guest for this past half hour, Wendy Schuler. Wendy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.